for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon Ladies 1:15 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Dying to Self.
Father God, we just thank you and give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you ever so much for Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We thank you, Father God, for those things that you have taught us in the conference so far. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us a mind to serve you. We thank you, Father God, for all that you have done. Now, Father, I decrease that you may increase in me even right now, that I may not speak anything that is of me, but that I might speak what you have placed inside of me, that these, your people, these, the women of God, the daughters of Zion, will be blessed by the word and by what you have to say. God, I thank you that you are a God that knows how to feed us all at one time, and I give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There is no subject that I can think of at this time. If I were going to give it a title, I probably would call it Dying to Yourself.
Ouch.
Now, we all know that what dying to yourself means. And it's... when we can forget about what it is in life that we want, what all of the things that are important to us, when they begin to come in question, what's important, there are a couple of things that are going to happen. You're either going to die to yourself or you're going to resist dying. And I have found that when you resist dying, what happens is there is a thing, and it's not even stress. Stress doesn't even begin to explain what you feel as you resist the killing and the crucifying of your flesh on the cross. I have come to the conclusion, and this is not a logos word, but a rhema word for you ladies, that it's tribulation. You enter into tribulation, which to me is 6 notches above stress. So if there's something in your life and God is after it before we go into 2007, you have felt that your whole world has come apart, that nothing is lined up the way that you think it should be, that everything that you have worked on, everything that your flesh, your intellect, your ability to make things happen begins to fall apart. And I don't care what you do, people that gave you things last year, they don't even want to hear your name. And you're trying to figure out what did you do wrong? You are in the midst of tribulation and you are not dead enough. See, the first stage is you get in stress and you start thinking, well, you know, this is going to be a stressful year. Everybody is stressed out. And the word of God for 07 is that this is a breakthrough year. So it's going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. And so you walk on a little bit further and the pressure gets even more. And you start thinking, well, wait a minute. This is more stress than I bargained for. And when the stress becomes to a point that it begins to affect your prayer life, it begins to affect your ability to praise, it begins to affect and you start thinking that you have gone backwards on your own deliverance, you're in tribulation. And that to me says that God has such a plan for your life that he wants you, more of you, than you can possibly imagine at this time and in this season in your life. And that he's got to work out of you those things that you think you are already delivered of. That's what tribulation does. And the only way that you can think of tribulation or even stress on that is to make the step out of your flesh and move into the spirit. Because it's there that you begin to see that the tribulation and the stress that you're going through has been set up and a designedly set up so that you can see who you are really. And those things that you need to get rid of that you can. Because how many of you know the Word of God says even the elect can be fooled or deceived? The Bible tells us that. So we can be deceived. We can walk around getting deliverance and ministering deliverance all year long. 2 years maybe. But all of a sudden, that at the end of that first year or that second year, and you have been receiving deliverance, everything that you that worked before is not working. And God is saying to you that it is not a formula that he wants you to have. It will not come in a formula. It will not come through man. When we set ourselves up for failure, because many times we put man in the position of God. We get on the telephone. Every time something goes wrong, I'm calling up brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and they'll pray for me. They'll walk me through this. The Bible says that God says that I shall what? Have no other God before me.
That's right.
So you either set that person up to get killed like you finna get killed, because God means that he'll have no other God before him. And y'all both gonna die. Literally on the cross. Y'all both gonna die because the person that is allowing you to make them the idol, even whether they recognize it or not, is headed for the same place that you're headed for, and that's the cross. Because anytime you keep letting people call on you and draw upon the anointing, and they can't make simplified decisions based on their experience with the Word of God and just take a chance on God. You know, sometimes you may not know what God wants you to do, but I guarantee you that the Word of God will tell you what he doesn't want you to do. So anything in between is faith.
Amen.
Don't ask me to repeat that because that came out of the Spirit. It ain't on my paper. So, get the tape. Stop seeing. I'm so serious about that. Any time that you place a person in that position, you are asking for trouble. Not only for yourself, but for them. And we have to realize that, because God has not put us here to make this journey soul tied by a fleshly umbilical cord to anyone. He has put us here so that we have an understanding of the kingdom of God on earth. And that people looking at us can understand what the kingdom of God on earth is, so that when we go to minister to them, to tell them about who Jesus is, they can look at our lives and they can see the kingdom of God working in our life and be willing and open to say, you know, I want some of that. People don't want what they cannot see. We do. I haven't seen heaven yet, but I want it. But that's because I stepped out of my flesh into the spirit a long time ago and decided that the Word of God was right and that I was wrong, and that he said heaven exists and that he has prepared a place for me, and I believe it. But I haven't seen it yet. And when I do, I'm not coming back. But you understand what I'm saying. So when we go and we want to minister to people, they need to see the kingdom of God operating in you.
Amen.
They need to know that you know who Jesus really is. And a friend of mine calls it taking the high road. It's funny how God will put people in your life. They don't go to your church. They don't even understand deliverance. You know, they say things like, some days I feel inhabited. Like, I said, yeah, some days you are. You know, and we laugh about it because we have people around us who don't understand deliverance, but they have different terminologies. And so you have to listen with your spiritual ears to hear what they're really saying. They know something is off. They don't know what to call it. And they're certainly not going to call it deliverance. So they have, I think I'm inhabited. You know, so you find those areas where you can minister. And you minister to them right where they are. And in so doing, you show them the kingdom of God, which is taking the high road. If you take the high road in every situation that seems stressful or every situation that is a challenge for you, or for you, for your personality, for your emotions, someone's saying things about you really bad and you know they're saying it, but they don't know that somebody came back and told you that they said these things. And you've got to face them. You've got to either face them in church, or you've got to face them on your job, or you got to face them in some way, and you decide, I'm going to take the high road. I'm not going to confront. I'm not going to look ugly. I'm not going to cut them with my eyes and let them know that I know that they know they done said something about me. I'm going to take the high road. When you make those decisions to take the high road, you are actually moving into the kingdom of God. Because that's how Jesus did it. Jesus took the high road on everything. I mean, you know, the Sadducees the Sadducees and all of the rest of the Pharisees and making all the accusations to Jesus when they had an opportunity, and when he was with the woman that they were going to stone, and he wrote all of this on the ground, and they all started just walking away. These kinds of things show that he took the high road. He didn't say anything. He didn't confront them and just give them a piece of his mind out of his flesh. He did give them a piece of his spiritual wisdom and understanding out of his spirit, which had more of an effect than when we lose it and give somebody a piece of our mind. Because when you lose it and you give a person a piece of your mind, really and truthfully, none of us really have a piece of our mind that we need to be giving up. Because it's hard enough for us to make it day to day anyway. So you need to be holding on to all of your mind. So the easiest thing for you to do is give them a piece of the spirit. You know, and you begin to walk in the kingdom of God and begin to give them a piece of your wisdom and knowledge that has been given to you by reading the Word of God and understanding the Word of God. Proverbs is full of revelation and wisdom. One of the third highest levels of discernment where Jesus walked, taking the high road, is when you are speaking to someone and they ask you a question and you don't answer the question that they ask you, but you answer really to that thing that prompted the question, which is taking the high road. Because the question really doesn't mean anything. Why did they ask you the question? Where is that question really coming from? That means you've begun to dig deep into the kingdom to find the treasure, the nugget that's really prompting the individual to ask you the question, which is what Jesus did. You'll notice that when you read the Word of God and people ask Jesus questions, many times he did not answer the question. He answered what was really on their heart.
That's true.
So that is a third level of discernment that the kingdom of God has for us if we're willing to crucify ourselves and die and enter into the kingdom of God. Because that's where Jesus was, and Jesus was and is and continues to be our example. So instead of giving a person a piece of your mind when they ask a question that you know is obviously one of those questions that can, it bothers me when a person asks me more than one question at a time. I feel manipulated. I feel controlled. And everything in me starts going like this. You know, and I have to get myself together. That's one thing. I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'm delivered from that. Because when you start asking me two and three questions, like all right in a row, and you know what, I'm like, I have to stop and get myself together. And I say, where is this leading to? What is it that you really want to know? And it takes a lot to do that and to do it calmly if you know that the devil knows that that's one of your pet areas. So you have to go back and continue to remember Deliverance 101, truth. Deliverance 101, truth. Truth about who you are. Truth about what really ticks you off. Because that's the thing that the enemy is going to come after over and over again. And just when you think that you have conquered it, just when you think that you have got it all together, that's when the pressure really comes. Mm-hmm. That's when the challenges really come. And how many of you know that really, when it's all over, you thank God for it? Because as you look at yourself coming out of this and all this stuff oozing out of you that you thought you had been delivered from, and it's just oozing out like ice cream, and you're like, oh my goodness. And you want to just go someplace away from everybody and let it ooze between you and God. Because you don't want anybody else to see all this stuff that's oozing out of you. Don't you know that that is God's way of saying he loves you? That is God's way of taking you closer to the kingdom of God and operating within the kingdom. Because you cannot enter the kingdom of God through your flesh. To enter the kingdom of God, I believe it's in Matthew 17, I think. Don't quote me on that. I don't do good at that. But it says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you're in the Holy Ghost, you ain't in your flesh. If you're in the Holy Ghost, you're in the kingdom of God. And if you are in the kingdom of God, then righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost will come. Because righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is not going to come in your flesh. There's nothing righteous about us in our flesh. We don't have peace in our flesh. We don't have joy in our flesh. Righteousness, peace, and joy comes within your spirit, which is the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, amen. Which is the kingdom of God. So you have to be willing to die to yourself. To allow yourself to die so that that God has inside of you, buried in this earthen vessel, this treasure that he has inside of you, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost, so that that is what is oozing out of you when people say something to you that doesn't quite fit. I am learning within my own family the love of God in a way that I have sat on my porch and I have told God, if you don't give me a love for the people in Hot Springs, you're going to have to get me out of here because I ain't ready for this. I told him that 10 years ago. I was ready to go, but he gave me a love because he wanted me here for the people of Hot Springs. And I'm not the kind of person that just all the time, I used to not just cry. I'm grateful and I'm happy. And I usually just, after I say, well, thank you so much and everything, I go to my room and I'm just like all over the place with me and God. So when I find that of all the things that I do and all of the things that have been going on within my family, and I look at them, I begin to realize that many times we're not looking at our family the way that we should. We get saved, we get filled with the Holy Ghost. We do Deliverance 101, 102. We think we got it going on. And we looked at our unsaved family members. And start thinking, man, they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And that's all you say. You go off and you pray for them. But you're not spending time with them so you can ooze out. And they can see you oozing out the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness. So when you get with them, And you're not oozing out the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. That's the best way for you to know you ain't ready yet. Because your family will bring it out. Am I lying?
Yeah.
No, y'all know I'm right. Your family will bring out every demon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Every challenge.
Yeah.
Everything inside of you that you thought was dead rises up in full power.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
They will step off every wound.
Everyone, if they can.
Oh, true.
But there comes a time, if it keeps happening, that you come to yourself and say, wait, I'm saved. I'm partially delivered. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. So wait a minute. And you start coming to yourself. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just everything is just like coming out and it ain't right. And, you know, you're supposed to be the saved one in the whole family. You know, just ooh, you're like, wah, wah. So finally, you come to yourself, you take a little squirt of B12 and sit down and say, wait a minute. Say, wait a minute, God, this is not right. This is not what I expected it to be. But again, this is God letting you know. You know, you got some more stuff that you're going to have to deal with. There's some more things that are in your heart. And you know what? What better place to start than your family? Because really and truthfully, all of our demons, everything that ever happened to us, started where?
In the family.
In the family. So if you don't get that right, anything outside of that, because within your family, you know you can find every demon that's in the book right in your family.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to go outside. You don't have to come here to cast out demons. You can just find every one of them in your family. And I spent the first 12 years of my life away from my family, getting deliverance from myself. Then all of a sudden, my next 10 years have been here with my family. Now I know why God delivered me. Because I wonder today, in all presence of mind, where I would be. And so that makes me love God so much more. Where would I have been? Now, where's my family going to be if I keep allowing them to unplug me and I operate in my flesh? This is a tall order. But I share this openly with you because I know that I am not the only one. And if this happens to you in the next 6 months, remember what I'm saying to you. That you're going to spring a leak and you're going to be all over the place before you finally pull yourself together and stop thinking about your family as you always think about them as just being family members. Yes, I came to the conclusion that these are people that are unsaved and they need to know Jesus. I'm looking at their demons crawling all over the place. But when Mary and James came for Jesus, he said, this is my family. And I never understood that. I kind of thought, well, Jesus, that was really hard. Mary did raise you. You know what I'm saying? But I understand now that from a kingdom perspective, my mother and my brothers and sisters, until they accept Christ in their life and are willing to accept him wholly and not just be carnal Christians, they're not really a part of the family that I know. And I had to think about that. Now, I know I have to respect and honor my mom, and I respect and honor them. But just think about what I'm saying to you. From a kingdom perspective, I need to look at them all as unsaved and filled with demons and ask God the root to each one so they can walk where I have walked and understand the joy and the love that I have for the Lord and for God's people. Until they see it in me, they're not going to understand. They're going to continue to do what they've always done. So putting me in that place, putting the pressure on, I now realize that if ever there was a testimony that I'm going to have, if ever there was a place in God that I need to be, I must accomplish and subdue the enemy in my own household. And when I heard that before, you know, about the, in the Bible, I believe in Timothy, about a man should, you know, take care of his own house first, and then, you know, he can do that. That it says a man, and I was thinking a man, a pastor, you know. But that goes for those of us that are in ministry, those of us that are saved. Our ministry becomes our family. And that's who he's talking about. The family that we were born into in the flesh. If they're not saved, if they do not know the Lord, if you never leave your house, that becomes your missionary field. That's your missionary field if you never leave your house. Because somebody in your family is an apostle. Somebody in your family is a hidden prophet. Somebody in your family is a teacher. Somebody in your family needs to know God and needs to understand the teachings that you have received so that they can understand why they are the way that they are. They need to understand the low self-esteem that causes them to sleep around. The low self-esteem and the pride that causes their minds to be slow, in addition to the drugs that they were taking, so that they are slow and they don't pick up on things right away. They need to understand that that's all coming out of that curse that's on the family line. And sometimes the only way you're going to get their attention is when they begin to watch you under such pressure. They know that anybody else would bust. But after you plug up your leaks and you realize that God is still in control no matter what, and you set your face like flint to die to your own ideas about your business, about your life, about where you're going, and listen for the voice of God to tell you what you're to do in this season of your life. Even if it means shutting the door on a business that you've had for 10 years. Whatever it is, you got to reach the point of kingdom knowledge and kingdom revelation that if that's what you want, God, then take it. Because I can't take the tribulation anymore. And the tribulation comes when the world and what the world has to say to you means more to you than what God is telling you to do. That's when tribulation comes. That's when you are trying to move out of your flesh into the spirit and understand the kingdom vision of God for yourself, the kingdom vision of God for the church, the kingdom vision of God for his people. When you refuse to believe in making your decision that God is still in control, it doesn't matter if you put 10 years into a business. It doesn't matter if it's in debt. It doesn't matter what people have to say about you if you have to let it go. It just does not matter. Why? Because God is in control and the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. If he shuts it down today and he told you to start it 10 years ago, so what?
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He can and he can raise it up. Who do you think you're talking to?
That's right. Amen.
He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Life and death are in him. And the funny part about it is he controls time. We wake up every day, think it's 24 hours have passed. What if 100 years passed us? We went to sleep last night. Wouldn't we know? We wouldn't know. Somebody tell me, would you really know? So what? So he's telling God, he's got the time. He's got plenty of time to work in us what needs to be worked in us. Well, I just let her sleep because I'm really mad at her right now. So I'm just going to let her sleep. So as we begin to seek God for this coming year, Begin to seek Him with all of your might. Begin to seek Him with the mindset that it's not about me. It's not about mine. It's not about anything that I have. It's about God.
Amen.
It's about where He wants you to go. It's about what He wants you to do. It's about what He wants you to speak. It's about where you are right now and where you want to go and where He's telling you to go, and not be concerned about how you're going to get there. Because every year we grow in faith. If you are concerned about how you're going to get or what people are going to say, that is not faith. That is your flesh and you're concerned about man. But when God says, this is it, this is the end, or maybe He's not even saying that, but everything is just tore from the floor up, and you can't make heads or tails out of your life anymore. The pieces of the puzzle for your life do not fit anymore. The things that you used to do don't work anymore. When it all begins and begins to fall apart, that's when you fall apart too. And say, well, that's it, I'm done. What else are you going to do? If you do anything else other than that, it becomes tribulation, because you are operating in your flesh to try to gather the pieces to make it work, to fix it, and it's not working because you're pissing against the bricks. God is in control. He says, stop. I want your full attention right now, because I'm in charge of time. So what makes you think if you stop right now and stop doing five things at once and just sit and be still and concentrate on me, that you're going to miss them other five things? I gave you the brain. I gave you the intellect. I gave you the ability to walk and chew gum at the same time. You mean to tell me you're not going to stop and give me some time? Well, I'll just fix it so you can't do nothing but walk instead of walk and chew bubble gum. Let's see how that works for you. Can I have your attention, please? This is God. I have a plan for your life. Enter in to my rest. Ooh, that's a big word. The R word, rest. Ooh. Rest. It means to cease from doing things. To be still. And to know that He's God. We have a very difficult time doing that. A very difficult time being still and resting. The only time that we get still and rest is when we're pouring ourselves out. Mm-hmm. And we sit down for more than 5 minutes and fall asleep.
Ouch.
Well, we're all saying ouch. I tell you, I'm not preaching I'm preaching a Rhema word here. So I mean, I done walked from Logos to Rhema, so this is my word. I share my word with you, because as it comes out of me, it's mine first. So I give it to you. Giving it to me. Ouch. We need to understand that when God wants our attention, that's just what He wants. And stopping and being still and resting in the presence of God is not going to stop anything from getting to you. And I believe that we become caught up in the world. We get caught up in the world and the environment of the world at the end of a year or two. And it seems like that's the time when we have to go down this long corridor. I was watching E.T. for the 150th time. You know that long corridor they went through, and they'd be spraying that stuff on you when you'd be in the presence of extraterrestrial people and stuff. And they, all this stuff comes out. We know it's just probably steam, but whatever. To me, every now and then in our lives, I believe that's what happens to us. We're in the world, we're ministering to our family members, and we think we're okay. But you know, you can hang out in any place too long, and stuff will get on you. You have a black suit or a sweater or something that you like. You may not get it cleaned every month. But after a period of time, you begin to look at that sweater or that suit or that dress, and you see little fuzzy things on it and everything. You start saying, I better get this cleaned. I picked up a few things along the way. And that is the wisdom of God that will allow you to say to yourself, I need to stop because I need a cleaning. I'm moving too fast, and I've seen all these people. I've prayed for all these people, but who has prayed for me? When was the last time that I sat still long enough for someone to lay hands on me? When did I sit still long enough to go downtown in Hot Springs and get a massage and get my nails done or get my hair done and just sit out on the lake and look at the water and just sit there and see God's handiwork and wait for Him to speak? If you have not done that, then it's time for a spiritual cleaning. Because the busyness, do you know you can get so busy that even the dreams that God wants to give you for direction and for guidance won't come. Because when you go to sleep, you're so tired, you're not even dreaming. You just go to sleep and you wake up. You don't know whether you had a dream or not. Because in the kingdom of God, as the gifts operate in our lives, they all operate. Some are just called to a particular position or place, but all of the gifts operate in our lives. You can have visions and dreams at night if you ask God, but if you're so tired when you lay down, that vision and dream just be cycling around waiting for you to rest enough so that you can pick up on it, that God wants to give you something, a warning, or a flicker of something that's going to happen in your future, or an answer to a question, a parable. Dreams from God are wonderful because they always seem to be parables to me, which means that you have to go to God's Word and you have to search a thing out to find out what God is telling you, which then causes you to understand the Word more, which causes your brain to operate out of your, away from your flesh. Your brain begins to operate where it never does on a regular basis, and that's within the kingdom of God. Because most of you know, we don't use half of our brain power anyway, and we certainly don't use that part that God has for us to use that is a part of the kingdom, where you get revelation and you can see things happening and have a and to break open a parable. The only way that the disciples were able to finally break open the parables was when they began to stop operating in their flesh and being competitive with each other and really accepted who Jesus really was that was walking with them and began to stretch themselves so that when He spoke a parable, they could understand it. God is anxious, but not the way we understand anxious, for us to come into His presence and to spend time with Him and to stop with all the busyness. And this is something that we're all going to have to do before entering into 2007. We need cleaning. We need to be cleaned. We need to be cleaned inside and out, because God wants to pour into us new wine. And until we get cleaned, we're running around in old wineskin. This is a new day. This is a new beginning. So I encourage you once again, as we enter into 2007, to lay aside every weight and all of the things that you think you want, all of the things and dreams that you think or feel that God has given you, even lay those aside. Even lay those aside. Because I had a thought that God has things that He wants us to do, and He has things that He wants to put into our lives. But because He thinks on a kingdom level at all times, a lot of the things that are supposed to happen in our lives are supposed to happen because so-and-so got the word from God to do thus, thus, and so. So-and-so got the word from God to do thus, thus, and so. And so-and-so got the word from God to do thus, thus, and so. And what happened? 3 out of the 4 people refused to do what God said to do. So therefore, they missed their blessing and botched up yours, because God wanted to hook you up. So you wonder why that thing did not happen. And because God recognizes that that will happen with men, and that men are not always going to do what He says to do, if you stay faithful to that He has told you to stay faithful with, He'll raise somebody else up, and He'll still cause that to happen, but He'll bring it in from a different direction. He won't bring it in from the direction he wanted to bring it in, because he is never going to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. Oh, the pressure will get on them. They'll go through tribulation. But you have to make up your mind that you want to do the thing, that you want to be a part of the tapestry of the kingdom of God, that you want to be obedient to him and to be used, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit in manifesting here on this earth the blessings of God in someone else's life, because as they are blessed, you'll be blessed. So until we become completely obedient to the word of God and move into the kingdom of God, our blessings are being held up by our own stubbornness, our own disobedience, and our own unwillingness to change and to let go of an idea that God gave us 5 years ago. Let it go. It doesn't mean that God didn't give you the idea, but it may mean the people that you were supposed to have with you just got in their flesh and messed up. So he's going to have to take that and move it over here and bring it into manifestation a different way. So whenever you feel like you've given up something, you're really not giving it up. You're just allowing God to bring it into manifestation from another place, through another person. Because he's just unique enough and has the ability enough to cause things to happen in a different way than you thought he was going to make it happen. So we have to have that faith. If he gave it to you, just because it's not coming into manifestation the way you think or at the time that you think it's going to happen, doesn't mean that it isn't. It means that somewhere along the line, some of us were operating too much in our flesh, and we missed it. So that's what the cleaning is for. So you can see if you missed it. And it's not going to be, if you missed it, that he's going to be standing over you or standing over that person with a hammer. You know God does not operate like that. Because I find when conviction comes to me, it comes so sweet. It comes so sweet. I'm ever so convicted. I'm ever so know I was wrong. I'm ever so know that I said the wrong thing. I ever so know that I jumped too quick, that I should have waited. But his love and his mercy and his compassion is so overwhelming that I accept it and I repent. And if I have to apologize, I do. I pick myself up and I go. So many times it's hard for us to forgive ourselves when God has already forgiven us. As soon as we say, God, I am so sorry, it's done. It's over with. But can you forgive yourself like that and just pick it up and keep going, doing what God tells you to do? You're only responsible for what you know. And if you were blinded by a personal demon and you didn't know, it's okay. But once you get delivered, once you see it, now you're responsible. You must do it. God is so good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Dying to yourself. Dying to yourself. Let nothing or no one stop you. This keeps coming in my spirit. From dying to yourself as we enter into 2007. The blessings of God, there's an open window, and there's things that are going to happen in our lives that God wants to just do because he's God. He just wants to do it. He wants to do it because we have been through tribulation, we have been through stress. And you know what? Don't measure yourself by anybody else. Don't even measure yourself by yourself. Because that was something that I would do. I would say, wow, last time I was going through tribulation, I went through it 4 months before I got a revelation. This time I only went through it 2 months and I got the revelation. Don't compare yourself. Don't be comparing yourself to whatever is going on or to whomever is going through. When you get the revelation about who you are, when you get the revelation about the things that you did do that you shouldn't have done and all of that, Right then and there is where you repent. Right then and there is where you pick yourself up and know that you are now flowing in the righteousness, the joy, and the peace of the Holy Ghost. Because most of the time we're living on God's grace. It's just the way it is. This flesh wants to remain flesh. Our challenge is when we remind flesh, you know what? You ain't nothing but flesh. You're going to die soon, so I'm not letting you take me down that bunny trail another time. And put flesh in its place and begin to rise up in your spirit and begin to have the mindset that you are going to take the high road and listen for the voice of God to give you the answers to your situations from the Rhema Word of God. Operate out of the Spirit, and you will bring to yourself spiritual things. When you operate in the flesh, you bring to yourself fleshly things. You ever notice that when somebody's really mad and they're really coming at you and they're really saying awful things to you, that if you respond in your flesh, it just gets worse? You ain't got it no more. At one time, you know, when you was in your flesh, you were like, hey, come on. We can get it on right here now. Come on. But once you step over and you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm going to do what you called me to do. Once you do that, all that kind of stuff doesn't relate to you. And even if you do get mad, you stand right there and you look at that person, you know within yourself, there is no way that you're going to call up all them dead demons to get into that with somebody. So just, you know, it's all like, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be the vehicle through which you spoke your word today. I thank you, Father God, for there were a lot of ouches for me as well. And I submit and I humble myself before these, my sisters, and before you, God, looking for nothing except deliverance, nothing except to be in your presence where there is joy, fullness of joy, where there is deliverance, where there's hope, where there are answers to questions. Lord, fill us right now. Let your presence continue to be in this room even now, O God, and fill us up. Fill us right now, God, with your word. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your righteousness. Father, in Jesus' name, we take authority over every spirit of doubt and unbelief, and we bind it in the name of Jesus, and we lose faith, hope, and trust. God, we take authority over and we bind the spirits of mind control right now in the name of Jesus, holding us to the past. And we loose the angels to go in to cut off the tentacles of mind control right now in Jesus' name and release us into our future. Release us into our destiny. God, right now in Jesus' name, we bind our religious mindsets in the name of Jesus. And we loose the freedom and liberty that there is in you, O God, in Jesus' name. God, right now in Jesus' name, we bind every spirit that would keep us from operating in the gifts and the callings that you've placed upon our lives, the spirits of fear, the spirits of doubt. We bind those continually in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and glory and honor. We bind the spirits of Jezebel that would attempt to operate in our lives, that would ride on the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We curse that spirit at the root. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We worship you. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. There is none like you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, we break and divide every demonic confederacy against our lives in the name of Jesus. We lose confusion against every satanic and demonic conspiracy right now in Jesus' name. We cut off all spiritual witchcraft in the name of Jesus, and we curse that thing at the root in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that your kingdom come and your will be done. Matthew 6:10. We thank you that your kingdom will advance and be established through the preaching and teaching and healing spoken of in Matthew 4:23. Let the gates of our life and city be open to the King of glory that he may come in, Psalm 24:7. Lord, you reign. You are clothed with majesty and strength. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting to everlasting, Psalm 93:1-2. God, we thank you that we don't believe just a portion of your word, but that we believe all of your word. God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that we understand that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that you are Christ the Lord, you are our deliverer, and we say hallelujah to you. You are Emmanuel, God with us, and we thank you. You are Jehovah Shalom, you are Jehovah Nishi, you are Jehovah, our banner of love. We praise you, O God. We honor you, we adore you, God. You are worthy of all our praise, God. There is none like you, O Lord. We thank you, O God, that we have the mind of Christ and the heart of God, that we might be able to see through your eyes and feel with your heart, O God, the people, and that we'll be able to speak words of wisdom into their lives, O God, words of compassion, words of comfort, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you and give you glory and honor, for there truly is none like you, O Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God, that even as we leave this place this afternoon, God, and we go back to our rooms, we go back to our homes, God, that you will place upon us, Father God, a desire to rest. A desire to rest. A desire to sit and be still and to hear what you have to say, because you are all that we have said. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are our peace, God. You reign over our hearts, and we thank you for that. We thank you, O God, that we can, that you're showing us now that we need to put on the brakes in the Holy Ghost and sit still, Father God, and wait to hear what you have to say. God, we break and bind all spirits of the addiction to our appetites, causing us to want to jump up and eat when we should be sitting still and reading and eating of your word, God, in the name of Jesus. We drive out those spirits in Jesus' name. We drive out those spirits of detraction that would detract us from spending time with you, God. And we say, move in the name of Jesus. God, we break all generational curses of pride and rebellion and lust, poverty, witchcraft, idolatry, death, destruction, failure, and sickness. We break and bind all spirits of infirmity, fear, schizophrenia, and rejection in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We command all generational and hereditary spirits operating in our lives through curses to be bound and cast out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of lust and perversion, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and immorality to come out of our sexual character in the name of Jesus. God, we command all spirits of hurt and rejection and fear, anger, wrath, sadness, depression, discouragement, grief, bitterness, and unforgiveness to come out of our emotions in the name of Jesus. Move out of our emotions in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is applied to our emotions. All your emotional demons that come at the end of the year, that come around Christmas and the new year, that come on single women, I say, move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Those spirits that come, that cause us to remember, that cause us to live in the past, I break you now in the name of Jesus. Those spirits that tell us, I wish, I coulda, shoulda, oughta, I break that now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And we say you must bow and go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, we thank you as we cast out and command all spirits of confusion, forgetfulness, mind control, mental illness, double-mindedness, fantasy, pain, pride, and memory recall to come out of our minds in the name of Jesus. Move now in Jesus' name. Move now. Come off the back of the neck. Heavy load, heavy weight, too much responsibility. Come off the shoulders. Come off the neck. Come off the back. Come off the heels. Every every place where witchcraft may enter in. You must go, all seven spirits, all seven places where witchcraft would enter in. We apply the blood of Jesus and drive you out in Jesus' name. Go, go in Jesus' name. We come against the general of tiredness and weariness. Move now in the name of Jesus. Come off the backs and the necks of the women of God in the name of Jesus. Come out of their hearts. Come out of their stomachs. Come out of their legs. Come out of their mind. Come out of their chest. I come against bronchitis right now in the name of Jesus. Bronchitis and pneumonia from overworking yourself in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go. Come out now in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All sickness and infirmities, go in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of guilt, shame, and condemnation to come out in the name of Jesus. Guilt and shame for what we did, for what we didn't do, in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. We command all spirits of guilt, all spirits of pride and stubbornness, disobedience, rebellion, self-will, selfishness, and arrogance to come out in the name of Jesus. And we loose a spirit of humility and obedience in the name of Jesus. Obedience, willful obedience to the call of God in the name of Jesus. All you demons go now in Jesus' name. Oh, roshe, la, 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 yes, korvasa, hey, yororoboshe, non direoshe, nandroshe, la, 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 droshe, la, 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 boshe, witchcraft, sorcery, and divination, go. We break those curses off the family line right now in Jesus' name. Manifest yourself and go now in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out. We break those spoken word curses, words we've spoken over ourselves. I'm not this, I'm not that, I can't do this, it's too much. We break that off of ourselves right now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for extraordinary favor. Thank you, Lord, for extraordinary favor in our lives. We give you praise and glory and honor. We worship you, O God. Hallelujah. We command our spirits operating in our head, our eyes, our mouth, our tongue, and throat. Oh, yes, Lord, to come out in the name of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus that we'll speak only what God tells us to speak in Jesus' name. Come out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we apply the blood of Jesus. We drive you out now in Jesus' name, all the way out. Cutting words, curse words, things that we say to people and that hurt them in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go now in Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out, up and out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you cannot stay. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we command all spirits operating in our backs and our spines to come out in the name of Jesus, operating in the stomach and the navel and the abdomen. Go now in Jesus' name. All you hidden ulcers, nervous stomachs, eating Toms and Malanta all the time, manifest yourself and go now in the name of Jesus. Move out of there. Move out of there now in Jesus' name. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits operating in our heart, the spleen, the kidneys, the liver, the pancreas, the thyroid, come out in the name of Jesus and be healed in Jesus' name. Ah, let the body be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We command our spirits operating in our sexual organs, in our hands, arms, legs, and feet to come out in the name of Jesus. Manifest yourself and go. Go now in Jesus' name. Come out of the skeletal system, including our bones, our joints, our knees, and elbows. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command our spirits operating right now in the blood and circulatory system. You must manifest and go in Jesus' name. All the way out in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Come out of the blood. Come out of the circulatory system now in Jesus' name. Come out of the muscles. Come out of the muscles and the muscular system now in the name of Jesus. All premature death, stroke, and heart attack linked to fear, manifest and go now. We break that curse on the family line all the way to Adam and Eve, all the way back to Adam and Eve on both sides of the family. Manifest and go now. Go now. Now, we command all religious spirits of doubt, unbelief, error, heresy, and tradition that came in through religion to come out in the name of Jesus, all the way out. Move out of the people of God. Move out of these women now. Let them be free in Jesus. Move out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits that from our past that are hindering our present and future, come out in the name of Jesus. Move in Jesus' name, all the way out. Come up out of there. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle off of the stomach. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle off of the heart. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle and loose yourself from mind control now. In the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of God to go in and cut off your tentacles right now. In Jesus' name. We sever you now. In Jesus' name. We loose weakness upon you now. You'll gain no energy. You'll gain no control. You'll gain no messages from the second heavenlies. We loose confusion on Satan's camp right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We command all ancestral spirits that are entered through our ancestors to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, go. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle. Loose from yourself, from mind control. Go now in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. All the way out in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride prohibiting them from receiving their deliverance. You must go in Jesus' name. We curse you at the root in Jesus' name. Manifest and go now. Spirits of pride keeping them from receiving their deliverance. You must manifest and go now. We lose the spirit of humility upon you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. We command all hidden spirits hiding in any part of our lives to come out in the powerful, majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Move now. All hidden demons go. In the name of Jesus, let the light of the Holy Ghost be revealed upon you now. And you will manifest yourself and go in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We worship you. There is none like you. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. There is none like you, O Lord. Thank you for your presence, O God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, O God, for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We praise you, O God. We bind backlash and retaliation right now in the name of Jesus. Over us, over our family and our friends and our loved ones, our possessions in the name of Jesus. We just apply the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. For there is none like you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight, as it says in Psalms 144 and 1. Now, God, we thank you because you are more than able to fill us up with your spirit. Let your word come forth out of our hearts. All that is inside of us, God, that's you. We ask that the Holy Spirit just push up anything that's not like you, O God. In Jesus' name, and that we will have eyes in the spirit to see, and eyes in the spirit to know, ears in the spirit to hear what you are saying, so that we can be obedient to do what you've called us to do. God, we thank you that you've told us how to die to ourselves, and we will do that. We thank you that as we die to ourselves, we're giving you free reign in our lives to rule and to reign in our lives, oh God. And that we thank you for taking control. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this revelation, God. And we praise you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.